Grateful Earth makes the world's first brain-healthy mushroom coffee. They use 6 powerful superfoods like turmeric, which is great for brain health and it increases antioxidants. Chaga helps boost immunity. Lion's mane supports memory, focus, and benefits gut health. And it also has other superfoods like cinnamon, L-theanine, and black pepper. Their coffee comes in lightweight, single-serve, instant coffee sticks that are perfect for today's on-the-go lifestyle. Enjoy them anytime, anywhere, in an instant. I know what you're thinking, how good can instant coffee be? But their instant coffee is freshly roasted, micro-ground, and packaged on the same day. It has a 12-month shelf life, and it comes in recyclable packaging. Not into instant coffee? They also have Manuka Honey Whole Bean Coffee. Supercharge your day with Super Brain Coffee. Receive 10% off of your order by using the code BESTMUSHROOMCOFFEE10. Link is in the description. If you were told this story, you would think it was a Shakespearean novel. Love, tragedy, death. It has all of the elements, but it is an actual true story. Wanda was born in Warsaw, Poland on May 5th, 1900. She emigrated to the United States with her parents and siblings around 1915. They decided to live in Chicago, Illinois, in a little Poland neighborhood. They originally came to the United States to go to the Panama exhibition in San Francisco. Her father was a clay sculpture modeler. He was considered one of the best, and he modeled some of the buildings in the exhibition. Her mother came from a prominent Polish family, so Wanda grew up in a rigidly strict but loving home. Wanda was a quiet girl. She was a bit of a bookworm, always had her head in a book reading or studying. She would occasionally go to dances or parties, but it was always with her mother or one of her brothers. Wanda graduated from high school at the age of 17. She was top of her class. In 1920, Wanda was a student at John Marshall College of Law. While she was in law school, the family went for a 2-year trip to Poland, but Wanda stayed behind. While her family was away, Wanda moved to a girls' club on the north side of Chicago. As far as I know, it's kind of like a dorm or a boarding house specifically for women. And that's where she met some people within the bohemian community. Wanda passed the bar exam, becoming Chicago's youngest and first female U.S. district attorney. People described her as extremely smart, direct, blunt, and to the point, but also knew when to and when not to show emotions. Unfortunately, in those days, it was hard for women to work and find work in a male-dominated industry. So Wanda had a hard time finding work as a lawyer. She would get offered work as a secretary or assistant, basically entry-level positions. Many of the law firms had worries that their clients would not want to be represented by a woman. In search of a more independent lifestyle, Wanda moved to a bohemian neighborhood. In the 1920s, North America marked a new decade of freedom and exploration for young people. The early 1900s ushered a new age of sexual expression, which was reflected in the arts. Challenging society's standards became something that young people aspire to, and their carefree attitudes prompted immediate backlash from older generations. True to the reputation of the Roaring Twenties, the studio was the site of late-night parties and non-traditional lifestyles. A few months after her graduation, Wanda married a Russian man. The press referred to him as several different names: Vlad, Ted, Glastov, Glastow, so not much is known about his actual background. He described himself as a count who lost a fortune in the Russian Revolution, but Wanda's brothers portrayed him as a bootlegger and a professional gambler. Her brother said the so-called count always had a peculiar power over Wanda, a sort of hypnotic influence. She would declare that she hated the count and could not endure him any longer, and that she was going to leave him. But as soon as he came into her presence, all of her resistance was gone, and she did whatever he said. The count introduced Wanda to radical magazines, and he taught her new ways of self-expression. Later, according to Wanda's family, he introduced her to morphine, which she thought was fun, which may have been the start of her substance and alcohol addiction. It was rumored that the count got his money for marrying a girl in New York. Her father had paid him $10,000, which is about $170,000 in today's money, to annul the wedding. And then the count used his money to set himself up as a count. Wanda and the count would live separate lives soon after marrying. In 1922, Wanda went to a studio party and met a middle-aged advertising executive, Kenley. Kenley was described by his friends as a romantic humanitarian. He liked to encourage and help struggling artists and authors. Kenley took an immediate interest in Wanda, telling his friends that she was the brainiest girl he ever met, and he began supporting her financially. Wanda immediately fell in love with Kenley. Kenley was already married to Genevieve, who went by the nickname Doodles. She was a famous symphony pianist. Wanda was also married to the Count. She would say marriage was only a scrap of paper. Kenley and Wanda discussed philosophy, art, and literature. Wanda told Kenley that she always wanted to be an author. The affair would go on for a couple of years. When Wanda divorced the count, she encouraged Kenley to do the same. Kenley refused, but the affair continued. Kenley was getting exhausted juggling his wife, Wanda, and whatever other women he had in his life at the time. So he encouraged Wanda to move to New York, promising he would continue to support her financially. She lived in New York for a while, but would eventually settle in Detroit, Michigan. Wanda would write letters to Kenley every day. While in New York, Wanda studied journalism at New York University. Newspapers and magazines would not hire her, so she turned to writing short stories. The short stories she wrote were mostly about sexual content, and so nobody would buy them. Finally, she sold a story to a detective magazine. When Kenley found out, he stopped sending money, saying that she was able to make her own money. Doodles was aware of her husband's affairs over the years, and she finally had enough and threatened to leave him if he didn't break off the relationship with Wanda. When Kinley broke off the relationship, Wanda was upset and demanded that he leave his wife to be with her. But of course, he refused. Wanda continued to live the bohemian lifestyle of drinking and partying. She called and threatened Kinley for 2 years, but no one took it seriously and thought Wanda would give up at some point. On April 24th, 1924, Wanda traveled to Kinley's cottage on the outskirts of Chicago. Wanda took a taxi to the home, and she asked the driver to wait, saying that she would only be a few minutes and that she had to catch a train. She arrived at Kinley's home at 8:30 in the morning. Wanda knocked on the door and then rattled the doorknob. Doodles was in bed sick with the flu. She was expecting a friend to come over and take care of her, so she answered the door expecting her friends. Wanda was at the door. She asked to see Kinley. Doodles told her that he was already at the office. Wanda then pointed a gun at Doodles and continued to follow her into the house. Wanda asked how she was going to take care of herself without Kinley's money, and Doodles told her that she needed to find work for herself. After all, she was an attorney and a journalist. Wanda said that she was too sick to work, and that if Kinley didn't take care of her, he would be dead or blinded. Henry was Kinley and Doodles' caretaker and gardener. Henry knew that Doodles was sick and came by to check on her. He came through the back door and then found Wanda pointing a gun at Doodles. Henry was trying to be the peacemaker and told Wanda that she should leave because Doodles had the flu. The Spanish flu had just ended in 1920, so kind of like today, people were still a little like, stay away from people who have that. Henry tried to direct Wanda out the door. All of a sudden, there was an explosion and a flash of fire. Wanda shot Henry. Doodles reacted by jumping out of the nearby window. They were on ground level, and windows back then were just open. They didn't have like screens on them. So she jumped out the window and heard another shot, and then when she peeked in the window, she saw Henry falling to the floor. Henry was dead. He was only 68 years old. Or he was 68 years old, sorry. Doodles ran to the next door neighbors and called the police, and then called her husband at the office. Kinley was at work in downtown Chicago at the time of the shooting, and he was quickly picked up by the authorities for his protection and to take an interview. Wanda fled the scene in the taxi that was waiting for her, and she went to the train station and returned to Detroit. She checked into the Hotel Statler. Wanda wrote a letter to her mother. It included $150, a 1,000 mark Polish bond, an insurance policy for $200 with her mother as the beneficiary. $200 would have been $3,600 in today's money. A hotel clerk noticed the last name on the letter Wanda was sending, and he alerted the management. Unfortunately, it was too late. When hotel authorities went to the room, Wanda took out a vial of cyanide from her purse. She looked at them, smiled, drank the vial, and immediately collapsed. She was only 23 years old. When Kinley was told of the suicide, he was not surprised. He told authorities for years she had threatened to shoot him and then herself. Two Chicago artists that were friends of Wanda's went to Detroit to accompany the body back to Chicago. One of the artists described Wanda as the brainy young attorney who inspired scores of artists and authors with her brilliant conversation and wit. The district attorney's office sent flowers, and they also sent a representative to the funeral, but neither Kinley or the Count attended. Only close friends and family attended the funeral in Wanda's mother's home, which was a Polish service. Because Wanda died by suicide, the church would not allow the services to be held in the church. Over 10,000 people crowded the streets of Little Poland to see Wanda's casket carried from her mother's home in a white hearse to the National Bohemian Cemetery. Another 5,000 people waited up to 5 hours in the hot sun to see the burial. Street vendors showed up at each venue, and they had a lot of business. Everybody's making money somehow. The dean of the law school spoke at the burial. He spoke about Wanda's brilliance and told the crowd that he never had a student who had greater promise. Just when you thought the story was over, during the burial, a child started talking, and Wanda's brother walked up to the child and slapped her. The child's mother, Anna, of course, started to complain. Wanda's mother slapped Anna 3 times, breaking her eyeglasses. Anna had come to visit her son's grave and wandered over to see what was going on with all of the people gathered. The security of the cemetery had to separate Anna from Wanda's family. Ernest Hemingway was once a tenant and a friend of Kinley. After reading of the scandal in the newspaper, Hemingway privately reacted to it with dark amusement. Like I said, Wanda's story is a great tragedy of almost Shakespearean proportions. Although I don't condone what she did at all, there are so many what or if onlys in this story. If only Wanda was able to start a career in law. If only she didn't fall in love with the wrong men. She most likely had mental health issues. If only she received the help that she needed. If only Henry didn't step in to be the peacemaker. Wanda had it all. So much promise. She was a smart, beautiful woman with a loving family. But she wanted more, and she became obsessed with the wrong man, and then killed an innocent man. Wanda was buried at the National Bohemian Cemetery. Henry, unfortunately, was in the wrong place at the wrong time. He courageously protected Doodles, but lost his life in order to save hers. Henry was buried at Oak Woods Cemetery in Illinois. Thank you so much for listening.